Napoleon, are you coming to bed?
Not tonight, Josephine. I have an headache. What is that infernal racket?
The British are coming! The British are coming!
Put down your hairdryers and surrender in the name of the British Empire!
The British Hair Company has now relocated to 750 South Coast Highway and taken over management of Paris Salon. The British Hair Company. Passion, energy and excellence through education. 949-497-8345.
God save the Queen!
Gentlemen, attention.
High Wall City Country Bowl 2 square on your body. Then I'll begin.
Hi, I'm Peter Asher, and this is your full English breakfast. Sausages, baked beans, fried bread, and great music. KX93.5.
where he would have a hassle with the human race.
Sang hip-hop and don't stop, just blast off. Sure shot, cause the man from Mars stopped eating cars and eating bars, and now he only eats guitars. Yeah!
That is the sound of Blondie there on KX 93.5. That was number one single there. That was the first song that ever got to number one in the US charts that included a rap. You might think it was something a bit more hip-hoppy than that, but it wasn't. That was it, Blondie. It's KX 93.5. It's Laguna's only FM radio station. I'm Jason Fetty. It's your full English breakfast on a Sunday here where I get to meet my expat friends. Here on the radio, British people come in here, talk to me, they have a little conversation, and we play music that they've brought in with them, like a sort of Desert Island Discs. The British, you'll know what that is. But this is not your BBC World Service, that's for sure. It's KX 93.5, it's Laguna's only FM, and with me this morning is Claire Josie. Good morning, Claire Josie.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm not quite awake yet, but I'm going to be all right. I think I'm going to be okay.
Very good. I hope one of us is.
Yeah. Claire, where are you from?
I was brought up in Suffolk, and right now I'm living in Dana Point.
That's nice, isn't
it? Very nice, yeah.
You've led a charmed life. Suffolk's nice.
Suffolk's very nice, yeah.
What happens in Suffolk?
Well, it's where I was brought up. It was very much, you know, small villages. Everybody knows you. It was very kind of calm, quiet, relaxed.
Small town.
Yeah, very much. The kind of place, actually, as a kid, you think, wow, I wish there was more going on. But when you grow up, you realise you had a lot of freedom.
And did you find you were suffocating eventually?
Oh, like that. Ba-bum.
And then you had to leave the thing. I'm so proud of that. I can go now. Just play music now for the next hour. I've done my stupid pun of the day. So, small town girl.
Yeah.
And was it a thing where, you know, eventually you just sort of, oh, I can't, it's too much, I've got to get out of here, everybody knows my business? Or do you like a small town?
I like a small community. I quite like to know my neighbours, to, you know, be able to just kind of say, oh, I was in the neighbourhood, drop in, have a cup of tea, that kind of thing. People don't do that here a lot. I find that very different.
Well, it depends where you are, because if you're in a small town like Laguna, everyone knows each other.
Mm-hmm. So I noticed that, yeah.
I bumped into three people in Ralph's last night in the supermarket at like midnight. In various states of repair. You know, after I was playing at a gig at the local hotel, and three different people. So that, I like that a lot. A lot of people don't like it, yeah.
Yeah, no, I enjoy that.
Yeah. So, it's not supposed to ask a lady this question, but how old are you?
Oh, as my grandpa used to say, I'm as old as my tongue. So, I'm a little older than my teeth.
All right, never mind.
I'm 49.
But you say in your little bio here that you became a real Essex girl. Do you want to explain to our listener?
Well, no, I think I probably avoided becoming a real Essex girl. So I was born in Rochford, just outside Southend.
Yeah.
Spent a lot of time up until the age of, I guess, about six, a lot of time on the beach at Southend, you know, the beach hut and the kettle and big pots of tea. And
is that now, is Southend Beach, is that the one that's very long, like it's a long, not a, a wide beach, not
when
long.
The tide is out, it's really there. You could walk.
You could walk for a mile to get to the sea.
Get to the sea, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah. So that was fun. So we were there until I was about six. And then we moved to Suffolk, and that was the kind of the village lifestyle at that point. And it was fun.
Is Southend like a beachy culture in the way that we think of it in California or not?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't been back there for years. But it's funny, everywhere in the UK now, it doesn't matter where you are or how far you are from the ocean, everybody has that kind of surfer dude, like fashion, all the kind of surfboard, Hobie type stuff. It's just, you could be in the middle of nowhere and you'd still have that coastal feel. So probably Southend is, yeah, I'd imagine.
That's the happening thing, isn't it?
I hope they still have cockles and mussels and alive oak and stuff. And the pier.
Donkeys. They have donkeys on the beach.
I don't remember donkeys.
Yeah, it's probably a northern thing, that. They had donkeys on the beach at Scarborough.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible.
I remember going to Scarborough. An aunt and uncle living in Scarborough.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
It's very pretty, except for the smell of donkey poo. It's quite revolting.
Don't get that kind of thing in Laguna.
Of course not. Can you imagine? I want to play music that you brought in. You brought in some songs. A very interesting, eclectic mix of songs.
Did you like that first one?
I love that song by Blondie. I love Blondie just because of the weirdness of them.
Mm.
I was never really a big fan of sort of Blondie. I can never say it. I think I may have bought that first record, the black and white one, where she's dressed like a waiter or something. I forget now. Anyway, I never didn't know much about them really, particularly. But I always liked the weirdness of them, the sort of post Andy Warhol-y sort of vibe that they had.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's straight ahead pop music, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I chose that one because I remember dancing around the kitchen at a school camp thing, and it was the first time I'd heard any rap, and I just thought it was incredible.
Yeah, it was a brand new thing.
Yeah.
It was the first ever song that included rap that got to number one in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Not surprising that it was a white band. It always happens, doesn't it? Because the music gets usurped, you know, the sort of black music gets turned into white music and then it becomes big.
Yeah.
You know a lot about music, and we're going to talk about that, about your career, in a minute. Let's move on to a song by the White Stripes. Tell us a bit about this, why you chose it. It's called We're Gonna Be Friends.
I love the White Stripes, and there's a ton of stuff I could have chosen. Seven Nation Army was one that I just love, and there's a ton of stuff that I think they're great. But this one, it's so simple, it's almost childlike, and it just kind of reminds you that actually it's the simple stuff in life that really matters. And it made me think, when I moved here from the UK 10 years ago, I just realised that friends are so important. You know, my family was a long way away, and finding new friends, I love this song. It reminds me of all the people who are dear to me that I met at that time, and there's a few in mind, and I'll let them know who they are, but the song just brings all that back.
Well, let's do shout-outs after this. It's called The White Stripes. It's called We're Going to Be Friends, and it's by The White Stripes. And Claire Josie is here with us on Full English Breakfast on KX93.5.
Fence, books and pens, I can tell that we are gonna be friends. I can tell that we are gonna be friends. Walk with me, Susie Lee, through the park and by the tree. We will rest upon the ground and look at all the bugs we found. Safely walk to school without a sound. Here we are, no one else. We walk to school all by ourselves. There's dirt on our uniforms from chasing all the ants and worms. We clean up and now it's time to learn. We clean up and now it's time to learn. Numbers let us learn to spell. Nouns and books and show and tell. Playtime we will throw the ball. Back to class, through the hall. Teacher marks our height against the wall. Teacher marks our height against the wall. We don't notice any time pass. We don't notice anything. Side by side in every class. Teacher thinks that I sound funny, but she likes the way you sing. Tonight I'll dream while I'm in bed, when silly thoughts go through my head about the bugs and alphabet. When I wake tomorrow, I'll bet that you and I will walk together again. I can tell that we are gonna be friends. Gonna be friends.
Well, that's absolutely perfect for somebody I've just literally met about 10 minutes ago. Claire Josie's here. We are going to be friends, Claire Josie. And that's the White Stripes there on KX 93.5 each week on Full English Breakfast. We invite, that's the word I'm looking for, somebody from the community who's British or from the one of those isles. I've had Irish people on here. It's not really Full English Breakfast.
Oh, does that count? I don't know.
Yeah, I've had a Scots. I've had a Welsh woman as well once.
Cool.
That didn't work out very well.
You're stretching it there.
It was very boring. and no, she's great. She's the City Arts Manager. I suppose I should be nicer about her.
You probably should.
It's KX 93.5. It's Full English Breakfast. Claire, tell us about that whole thing of friends and family. Do you miss your family?
I do, yeah. I really do. I think... I've always been very easily distracted, and I love to travel and all of that great adventure, and I think sometimes it's been a bit too much. And I've realised, I think, over the last few years that, you know, deep down, even though there's a ton of great fun stuff out there to do, everybody really wants some roots.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I miss that. I do. I love going home and spending time. And now my parents have moved closer to my sister, and so when I get home, it's just more casual, and we're more kind of in and out of each other's lives, and that's nice.
Do you get the sense that whatever's gone before, childhoods can be tumultuous for everybody, doesn't matter what happened, and then sort of your 20s trying to figure out life and relationships and all that horrible stuff. Just threw up in my mouth a little bit there. and then you get to a certain age, in quotation marks, and it's much more relaxed.
Yeah.
When you go back and visit your folks.
Yeah. I think actually also the distance has been good, because when people come to visit, and particularly when my folks come to visit, they'll be there for a month, maybe 2 months, and you start to live each other's lives a bit more, and you realise that actually these aren't just your parents, these are your friends. And it's great, and all my friends love my parents. So,
do they?
Yeah, it's
great.
Well,
that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose they are. I mean, they are your friends, and eventually you become their parents.
That's a scary thought. Wow, the responsibility. Moving on.
But you're about your same age as me, so your parents probably not, I don't know how they are, but they're probably not quite, they're not in the 90s yet, are they?
No, they're mid-70s.
Right,
very
so they're still
sprightly,
rocking.
And they're coming over, and they've been over in the past, and I've had to catch a flight to go and find them, because it's like, wow, they're off having an adventure, and they're doing the same when they come this time. They're going to Zion and Bryce and Yellowstone.
Are they on the way? They're coming soon?
They're coming over in about 3 weeks.
Oh, good for them.
Yeah.
Fantastic time to come. All the tourists have gone home, away from Laguna and Dana Point, where you live.
Yeah, and she'll see some lovely fall colours on that drive. Autumn colours, sorry.
Autumn, whatever, yeah. Because it's not really... We don't have a proper seasons like they do in Britain. It's not quite the same.
Yeah, and I do miss the greenery. I go home, even just driving up the M1 or something, and you see all that greenery either side of the motorway. And you think, oh, God, this is so lush. I love that.
What else do you miss? Like, specific things that you miss about Britain?
Ooh, hobnobs. Decent cup of tea.
You can get hobnobs here, though, now. Mm. It's not like it used to be.
But there's something nostalgic about having a hobnob at home, like home.
When it's raining outside and you can't afford the electricity.
I'd love a really good rainy day.
Good hobnobs are good. Chocolate covered or
decent
just the other ones?
No, just the other ones, but right, decent chocolate, actually. Chocolate here's not great. English chocolate.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Do you find yourself complaining about what's not around here anymore? You know, like... You
just, no.
Oh, your tea's terrible. Your tea tastes like urine. What's wrong with you? Leave the bag in.
There's something about Lipton tea bags that they just have not got sorted out.
How did that even happen, Lipton's?
It's like cardboard, I don't know.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Very odd. Mm-hmm. But you can get all of that stuff here now. How long have you been here? 10 years, right?
10 years, yeah.
See, prior to that, 20 years ago, couldn't get any, there's none of that stuff was here. So you couldn't get a proper cup of tea because you couldn't get Tetley tea bags or anything like that. You had to send home for them. I had an uncle who lived in Vegas who treated tea bags like, it was like they were like drugs. Like if you went to England on a vacation, he would say, bring me back 180 Sainsbury's Red Label tea bags, untouched by human hands. I don't want I'm going to make sure the seal's not been broken, you know.
I do sometimes get requests for M&S Yorkshire Gold.
Do you?
Oh, yes.
Huh. Yeah, that's posh tea,
real
that.
That's really, you could stand a teaspoon up in that tea.
But you don't really miss you don't miss the culture particularly then. But do you hang out with English people here? Do you know a lot of English people out here?
Not especially. I have a few English friends, a couple of English friends that I also work with, and yeah, a few around. But generally, no. Most of my friends are American. Yeah. I guess. Yeah.
Did you sort of want, when you came here, did you want to sort of sink yourself into the culture? Did you sort of, were you leaving something behind?
No, I don't think I really took it too seriously, actually. I came over and I was having a great old time. And after about 6 months, I suddenly hit this wall and thought, oh my God, what have I done? I've changed my life. And this is not just one long, fun, extended business trip. This is life.
This is your life now, yeah.
I probably had 6 weeks, 2 months of just like waking up crying, going to bed crying, driving to work crying.
Yeah.
But so I came over and no, I didn't think, wow, this is a massive life change. I just thought, woohoo, I'm going to have a great time. And then think, oh, actually, this is real.
No, I can totally relate to that. Mm. 10 years now. So when you've been away, how long had you been away before that hit you, before that wall hit you?
About 6 months.
6 months, mm-hmm. Yeah. I can relate to that. The sort of the sheen goes off and now it's just, I've got to pay some bills and where am I going tonight and who am I going to see? And
yeah.
It can be lonely.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you don't spend that 6 months building relationships. You spend it organising your car insurance.
And well, funnily enough, I came over with a company that I was working for. They transferred me. And so I knew a lot of people. I'd been coming here a lot. I had a lot of friends, but they were all through work. And it really took a big concerted effort to find friends outside of work. So that was a focus for me.
Yeah, there's no pub culture either, is it? It's not like you can just go nip down a pub and start making friends.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Because not always
Everybody
the same people in the same bar. Mm. I want to talk about your job, what you do, but to lead into it, let's play this John Denver track.
Oh, yeah, no, that's, yeah. Perfect.
It's a cheesy segue, but it's, you know.
But it works, and that's why I chose it.
Right. John Denver and Leaving on a Jet Plane. Stick around to find out. She's not a pilot. She's not a flight attendant. But she works with the airline industry, so it's interesting and cool, and it's perfect for KX93.5. Claire Josie on Full English Breakfast.
All my bags are packed, I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye, but the dawn is breaking, it's early morn. The taxi's waiting, he's blown his horn. Already I'm so lonesome I could die. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. On a jet plane, don't know when I'll be back again. Oh babe, I hate to go. There's so many times I've let you down, so many times I've played around. I tell you now, they don't mean a thing. Every place I go, I'll think of you. Every song I sing, I'll sing for you. When I come back, I'll bring your wedding ring. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. To go. Now the time has come to leave you. One more time, let me kiss you. Then close your eyes and I'll be on my way. Dream about the days to come when I won't have to leave alone. About the times I won't have to say. Kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. Cause I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back. I hate to go. I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe. hate to go.
Tell you what, I love my job. Get to play beautiful music. It's KX93.5. That is John Denver there on the radio. And it's the choice of Claire Josie, who's our guest today on Full English Breakfast, you see. And very clever, cleverly picked.
Thank you.
But that's your job, isn't it? Picking entertainment for people.
Yes, kind
tell
of.
Us about, yeah, yeah. Tell us what it is that you do, because it's a fascinating job. And one that I'm a little, I must say I'm a little jealous of you, actually.
Oh. I'm in-flight entertainment, which when somebody asks me, I usually say something like, oh, you know, I juggle on my friend's strips. but actually...
you were quick there, because I was about to make some sort of joke.
I could see it written all over your face.
A clown and running down the aisle.
we put movies and TV shows and audio shows, and we produce stuff that go onto various airlines worldwide. I've been working in that field off and on for probably 15, 20 years.
Wow, you've seen some changes.
Yeah,
haven't
technology.
You? The whole digital age has happened.
Yeah, it's massive. I mean, it used to be you'd get on a plane and you could have a selection of stuff. It would be on demand. It was really exciting. You didn't have that at home. Now everybody's got that at home, everywhere. You can sit in the cafe down the street and have that.
Well, they've also got it with them on the plane.
Yeah.
So it's not just that they get on the plane and go, oh, this is just like home. They've got it in the phone and another iPad or whatever.
Yeah.
So that has changed a lot. How was it when you first started, didn't it? Were you like... Was it that thing of there's three movies and that's what, you know, on an international flight, you know, the little screens would come down.
Yeah, the drop-down screens when I first started. When I first started, I was selling TV shows to different broadcasters and one of my markets was the airline market. So I was selling to them, and then I went off and did a ton of different things but associated kind of consumer IP type stuff.
So people would make TV shows... Which would probably been on terrestrial TV already, would they?
Yeah, I worked for the BBC and I was selling their shows.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we forget that, don't we? The BBC being sort of, you know, such a ubiquitous thing in Britain and everyone's still paying the licence fee.
Mm-hmm.
It's free, it's like public television.
Mm-hmm.
I think Americans probably find this difficult to understand because it's cultural. That it's public TV, public radio, public broadcasting generally, media. And it's paid for by the British public, and it's organised by the government, and yet it's not it's not Pravda. It's not like it's a mouthpiece for the government by any means. In fact, a lot of times they're completely opposed to some things that the government do.
Yeah, it's an amazing organisation. They do a ton of stuff. They do a lot of stuff in education. It was great to work there. I was there 7 years.
Right. We're sort of switching around a bit, but I've got in your notes it says that you were licensing TV shows to French-speaking broadcasters.
Oui, oui.
That's from the BBC.
Yeah. So I got into that. Basically, when I started work, I had au-paired in Switzerland for a couple of years, and I learned French there, and I just wanted a job where I could use my French and get a bit of experience under my belt. And yeah, I had no idea what I wanted to do, and I still don't, honestly. I think most people, you know, they put their mind to something, and great, good for them. But I really believe if you find something that you're happy in and passionate about, just follow it. And when you're not happy anymore, find something else that makes you happy.
Find something else to do.
Yeah.
Especially when you've got no responsibilities, you've got no kids, whatever.
Right.
I was thinking about this the other day, you know, because we're going to England on Tuesday, my wife and I.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people there who I'm not saying they're not happy, I'm sure they are. I know they are. But they've got themselves, you know, they've got some responsibilities now, so it's not
it's
all about
when
them.
When you have other, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It needs to be, yeah.
So, things have changed, and now it's in-flight entertainment is massive. You've got to have a huge selection of stuff.
Yeah.
In order to make people happy on planes. So it's not quite the same as it was before. What does your job entail? So what's the nuts and bolts of when you get up in the morning, what do you have to do?
Well, actually, I don't do a lot of the screening and selection. There are other people in the team that are screening stuff for content, for editorial.
They've got the best job. They're watching stuff and listening to stuff.
Well, yeah, kind of. But they have to watch and listen to a lot of rubbish as well. So, you know, you have to filter it through. I probably do more on the commercial side. So, yeah, but it's fun. It's
when you say on the commercial, what does that mean? I mean, you're talking
to
people.
So I negotiate a lot of the deals.
The deals.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, a movie comes out and it's in theatres and people have seen it. And then you go, I've got to get this film for American Airlines, Star Alliance. Is it groups of airlines that you work for, or is it one particular airline?
Individual airlines, typically. We've got several of them, but they don't usually...
Are they like accounts, or are they...
Yeah,
kind of accounts, and then there'll be people shopping for new deals, presumably with new airlines as they come along.
Yeah.
You know.
It's a really interesting... Yeah, it's something that most people will say, wow, I never thought about it. I got on a plane, I watched a film, and it never crossed my mind how it got there.
And they know what the audience is. That's the thing.
They know a lot about you, yeah. We'd love to know more, but yeah.
Yeah, it's they know you know, got 300 people on a plane and blah blah blah, and how many people watched it. It's all these days you can track everything, can't you?
Yeah,
there's a lot of that going on. Like a lot of
there's a lot of that
algorithms.
Going on. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in the systems that will track a lot of that information. What you watch, how long for, and, you know. Yeah.
What do people watch the most? Sort of, what's the biggest, the most popular genre?
Oh, probably action drama.
Movies, whatever,
I think, yeah. Although, honestly, when you're sitting there and it's a small screen, I'm not sure how great it is compared to being at the cinema.
Right, true.
But, you know, but it's fun.
Yeah, but you're on a plane and you just want to zone out. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. There's never enough documentaries for my taste, just if you want to know my opinion.
Oh, it's interesting you say that, because I always look for the lifestyle stuff. I always look for more of the documentaries, more of the kind of insights. Yeah, the movies, well, I guess probably because I've seen a lot of them, you know.
Yeah,
but,
and the screen's too small, like you say. I often find that.
Yeah,
if it's some
they're getting
of...
better and better, but it's a different thing. And also the sound. So sound is really where my heart is. I would love to work on the music side of it, and we have wonderful creative people who do that, so I just kind of, you know, get some credibility for all the great stuff that they do, which is great. But the sound quality in the airline is, that's hugely important to me. So great headphones when I travel.
You've got to. Because I was going to say, it's all very well having great sound, and then they give you those little, you know, 10-cent headphones.
Yeah, take your own, they're really good. Some of the airlines have some really good stuff if you're certainly in business.
I've got the FU phones, I call them. I've got FU phones. I don't actually call them that. I use the long version of that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the noise cancelling.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put them on FU. That's it. Badly Drawn Boy, that's your next song. Tell us a bit about Badly Drawn Boy. Another artist who I don't know a great deal about.
Oh, I love this. So this goes back to probably when I first moved to London. There are a couple of CDs that I just played all the time. And this was one, and it's just stuck in my head. And one of the things that I love about this, and it's, God, I hope it doesn't sound like a bit of a downer, but the lyrics are, they just remind you of all the things that you should say to the people that you love. You know, that this, if there was no other song at my funeral, this would be the song, because it really tells people, you know what, I have had a great time and I hope you've had a great time and I'm going to be there for you, whatever. I love this song.
Yeah. Badly Drawn Boy, we'll check it out here on KX93.5.
Thank you. head was in a cloud. There's nothing you could never do to ever let me down. And remember that I'll always love you.
Quintessentially British music, that.
Yeah.
And yet, he's saying things that are quintessentially un-British.
Yeah, we're not very good at expressing ourselves, typically. That's something, actually, I've learnt since being here.
I was going to ask, that's my next question. Yeah. Have you changed your tune slightly?
Yeah, I have. I think I'm much more open, I'm much more expressive. Yeah, and friends of mine have really taught me that. There's a great friend, Kelly, she lives out in Iowa now, and she's a real sort of Southern girl, and she's so open, and she really taught me that. And that, yeah, that actually, we're going to be friends. So she's one of those people. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think perhaps that's, and I don't talk much about, we spend a lot of time on the show being snarky about Americans.
Surely not.
We tend to do that. It's not a very nice thing. It's not anything I'm particularly proud of, especially as we've chosen to live here.
Well, exactly, yeah.
But that's one of the nicer things about certainly Californian culture is they'll tell you they love you. Mm-hmm. When my wife arrived here 7 years ago, everybody knew me in town. They didn't know her, obviously. And after one meeting, she would always laugh and say, after one meeting, they'd say, we love you. Oh, we love you. And she'd be like, what? You don't even know, you know what I mean? You don't know me.
Yeah, I don't know that I've become that kind of open, but yeah, certainly the people who really mean something to me, I hope they really know it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a nice quality, mm-hmm. I think. But it's funny when you go back to Britain. Do you ever get the clash? You ever go back to Britain and have that clash of realising that you've taken on something? Not like you've become Californian, but you say something and you realise, wow, I've just said a very American thing.
Once in a blue moon, so people have said to me, do you pick up the accent? And I don't think I have.
No, you haven't.
When I go home.
No. I'm proud of you for that, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I think it's more the phrases, the just some of the intonation and some of the phrases that I come out with, I think, oh, actually, yeah, that was quite American. But I can't think off the top of my head what those would be.
Oh,
people
I
have
can.
Said to me. go on.
Well, there's loads of them. You know, we don't have... because I'm married to a Brit, we don't have tomatoes in our house.
Ah.
It's not allowed.
Uh-huh.
We still have tomatoes, although I can't help it. I say tomato. You've got to make yourself understood to an American. You can't say, pass the butter.
Well, yeah.
Where's the butter?
I do remember when I first came over here, I made the mistake of ordering water.
And water's a big one, yeah.
Basil and tomato salad. It took about six attempts, and eventually one of my American friends learned everyone basil and tomato.
It's basil and tomato, that's it. And it's all right, it slips off my tongue now.
After yeah, I still 17 can't quite years,
it just trips off my tongue. Basil and tomato, don't give a crap, you know. Some Hispanic waiter comes over, has been in the country 8 minutes, and you say, I'd like to get some more butter. You're not going to get, no, he's never going to understand what you say. And a bottle of water.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a blah, blah, blah?
Water.
But if you ask for butter, you get a fat Indian god. That's not right. They wheel him on in, wheeling the Buddha.
Oh, my God.
there's a lot of those. And for a long time, when I would go back to Britain, I would be very careful not to be too American. But we're going back to England, and there's a point to my story. I'll get there. On Tuesday, we're going for a week. We've got a wedding and stuff to do in Britain. And I'm consciously going to do as much Americanism as possible to wind up the Brits. I'm going to be dude everything.
Dude everything.
Everything's going to be dude. You awesome is my latest favourite word of the day.
But you know what? I used to hate that word. Mm-hmm. It just seems so bizarre. And yet there are some things that I am truly in awe. And awesome is the only word for it. So I've sort of adopted it.
Yeah.
Begrudgingly, it's become part of my lexicon.
Good. Mm. And I'm in favour of it now. Everything's awesome to me now. Because it's, you know what did it for me? It was Donald Trump.
Ashen-faced. Awesome just dropped out of
Well, no, he wants to make America great again, right? Mm-hmm. And that word great was the one, was the word that did it for me. Because he make America great again. And I think, well, I say great all the time. I've got a great pair of jeans. That was a great breakfast. In that way, yeah, America is great. It's great, right?
Well, yeah, we're here. We're having a great time. There's a lot of things that are great.
Totally great. Mm. Yeah, just, you know, my friend got a new car. That's great. You know? My wife stopped hitting me. That's great.
That would be
just great, you know, great. Not awesome, but great. And then I thought, well, if you can do that with great, like you had Alfred the Great, Peter the Great. These were great, in the original sense of the word. Now, awesome has taken the place of great for me. And I'm going to really upset a few people when I go back to Britain this week.
So, dude, this is an awesome wedding. That's going to come out of your mouth.
Dude, that was awesome, gnarly.
I think gnarly's still... Isn't gnarly ours?
I don't care.
Oh,
I don't care what's in or out. That's not the point.
I have got to the point now where if I write flavour or colour or any of those things, it looks wrong every which way I write it. I can't do it.
Do you have a spell check on your computer? Is it set to British or is it set to American?
I think it's set to American.
Yeah,
but it's still... I get so confused. And I can't do things like personalise with a Z or a Z.
Right,
a
Z. Well, the Z. Yeah. You know, is it a Z or a Z for you?
Oh, it's still a Z.
Is it?
Yeah.
Now, that'll go.
But then I did find myself saying tomatoes the other day, so who knows?
As long as you don't spell tomatoes with a Z, you're doing okay. Next track is House Martins. Great band from the north of England. Who's the name of the guy that was a very famous dude who came out of this band?
It's not Morrissey, is it?
No, that's the Smiths. I'll remember in a minute. He's a producer. He's married to that bird off the telly. Anyway, House Martins, the album was called London Nil Hull 4.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't remember that.
Yeah, London Nil 4, Hull 4. It's very funny. Americans don't know, London doesn't have a soccer team or a rugby team. But I'm going to England next week and I'm going to see Leeds, rugby league team, play Hull.
Oh.
That's a grudge match. Oh. They hate us. The Hull people hate us.
Is it going to get gnarly, as they say?
I hope so, yeah. I'm hoping it'll be grody. That's an old word, isn't it?
Grody? I don't even know that one.
Yeah, you weren't here. Oh. It's a Valley Girl thing.
Oh, okay.
So we'll play House Martins and we'll talk a bit more about... let's talk about sport. Are you interested in sport at all?
Somewhat. So I will follow the international matches, particularly for rugby. I'll watch some of those.
Yeah.
But I don't really follow a great deal other than that.
Right, but there's a great cultural rift, isn't it?
Yeah.
Between Britain. It's a good place to go.
Yeah.
Well, you don't know much about sport, neither do I. I'm just going for the pie. I'm going to the rugby match for the pies.
Good for you. Actually, yeah, a good pie. Oh, I went to New Zealand at Christmas. The pies in New Zealand.
I know, I've heard New Zealand's the house of the pie, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But that's the British influence, you see. All right, let's play the track. We'll talk a bit more about pies or rugby or something after that.
Okay.
It's Full English Breakfast on KX93.5.
What a good place to be. Don't believe it. She speak a different language and it's never something real to me. Don't believe it. Oh no. Cause it's never something real to me. No, it's another night up with a boss. Following footsteps overgrown by moss. And this hurts me. Good women grow on trees. And if you catch them right, they will land upon the knees. Where they open all the wallets and they close all the minds. And they love to buy you all a drink. And if we ask all the questions and you take all your clothes up and back to the kitchen sink. What a good place to be. Don't believe it. Cause you speak a different language and it's never really happened to me. Don't believe it. Oh no. Cause it's never been happened to me. No, 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 no.
not a good place to be. Don't believe her. She's speaking a different language and it's never really happened to me. Don't believe her. Oh no, cause it's never been happened for me. Don't believe her. Don't believe her. Don't believe her. Believe
her.
Again and again and again and again and again.
It's Happy Hour again on KX 93.5. I think this is Happy Hour, yeah. Full English Breakfast on the radio here in Laguna Beach, California. It's not a British show because we're not really British anymore. We're somewhere in between, sort of expats, you know. Another great thing, by the way, we're going to Britain this week, me and the wife. And obviously, you know, there's tumultuous sort of times politically in this country. Politics has changed. Things are very different. I'm being as diplomatic as I can, you know. And anybody who listens to this show knows my politics. You know. Two words for you. Arthur Scargill.
Oh,
anyway.
Okay.
This would be a great time for the Brits to make fun of us. Or in the vernacular, take the piss, you know. I'd go to Britain.
Just too gobsmacked, honestly.
They're not, but they can't, because I have one word for you.
Oh.
Brexit.
There's
an equilibrium here and there's a balance between our two countries, which would not have existed.
Well, it's funny. So over here, Americans will ask me, what is this Brexit thing and what's going on with it?
Explain,
and over there,
please do explain.
I wish I could. And then over there, people will say, well, you live there. You must know what's going on with American politics. I am clueless all around. It's all just, goodness knows, it's kind of messy. I don't know.
So you're not that interested in sport. Or politics. That's a nice
politics,
way to live.
Well, I guess I'm sort of, I would say left of centre. I'm, you know, pretty liberal, not wildly out there, but I feel like I've got a fairly privileged, I've had a great upbringing. I feel like, you know what, it's to give back makes a better society for everyone, and that means a lot to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Isn't that what politics is supposed to be about, like making life better for people?
One would hope so.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there's only sort of finite resources.
Yes.
So the argument is over, you know, where do you take from?
Yeah.
You know, when you have a skin graft, they have to take it from somewhere and it's usually the bum. Just saying. I don't know what I'm saying, but I am saying it. Hey, the British Hair Company is a business in town. They do hair and they're British.
Mm-hmm.
Paul and Tracy.
Oh.
They're from Croydon.
Oh, well, and he's got that, more British than that.
He's got that rolled out. Like, what are you doing, mate? All right. Got that thing going on. They're really nice, and they sponsor this show. I have to mention them, and I forget to do it. But,
hello, Paul. Hello, Tracy.
Paul and Tracy. I had a haircut there the other day. All right, mate. As a wife, it's all that. Of course, I'm from up north, so you know normally we'd be on opposing teams.
Well, yeah,
but nothing.
Then you're unified over here,
right? Because nothing unites like a common enemy.
Yeah,
I would say that. So we've, you know, almost run out of time, which is a bummer, because you were about 20 when we left your life, and I started just cracking jokes.
I'm still about 20, by the way. I maintain that.
Yeah, all ladies are 21.
Are they?
Yeah. So working in the airline industry out here, were you transferred from a job that was already there in Britain? It's the same company.
Yeah, same company. So I don't work for that company anymore. I was working for an American company based in London.
Yeah.
And they'd asked me a couple of times to come out, and then the third time I thought, you know what, it's time to make a change in my life, so I'm going to say yes and just go for it. So, yeah, so I came out, I worked for them for 6 years, and then I've worked for a couple of companies since then.
My stepfather did that. He moved out with a British company, came out to Chicago, and now in Vegas, have retired. But he lived in the lap of luxury compared to his British workmates because of the exchange rate and the amount of money that they were. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Was it good for you here, or did you take a...
At the time that I moved, it was great. Yeah, it was like 2-1, and it was a great...
Because you've been paid in pounds.
No, I came over. I didn't come on an expat contract. I came over, got my green card, just, you know, I decided that's it.
I'm glad to hear it. I was about to check your immigration status.
Oh, no, someone's bashing down the door.
Yeah. So, all right, so it worked out good at first, but now it's kind of changed. All the surveys
it's
changed.
Swings and roundabouts, yeah. Everywhere you live, you always feel like it's too expensive, but, you know.
Oh, God, when I used to go back to Britain and do gigs and get 2 for 1, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Not like that anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all changed. Well, you know what? It's 9:56. Let's just play this real quick. I'm just going to play this thing. It's a couple of minutes long. I'm not even going to play the whole thing, but just listen to this.
Some folks dream of the wonders they'll do before their time.
All right, that's enough of that. Can't stand it. Oh my God, why is this in your list? The prologue from Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat thing.
So when I was about 4, this is one of my earliest memories, and I was 4, maybe 5, we went to see Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Yeah.
I had never been to a musical before. It was magic to me. I just loved it. Anyway, one of my greatest memories is coming back from that, and my sister and our friend Jane and I would all stroll up and down the living room carpet with our hands in our jean loops, pretending to be in the cast, singing one of their, I think it's called Stone the Crows.
Right, very cute.
Yeah, no, it was.
You still a fan of musical theatre?
Yeah, I love musical theatre. Not the kind of, I'm going to get my cup of coffee now kind of thing.
Right, Andrew Lloyd Webbers?
Some of them I think are great, but sometimes it's just a bit too much. You know, you can't sing every line of dialogue and drama, but I enjoy it. I love live theatre.
In the words of Neil Finn from Crowded House, may his trousers fall down in front of the Queen and the Crown. Andrew Lloyd Webber. I don't know. That's one of the reasons I left Britain. No, I'm just kidding. But it could be, couldn't it?
Mm.
Horrible. Great. Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat. A story from the Bible made into a cheesy musical.
Hey, there are worse things.
This sounds like it could be The Lion King, this last bit. Boom. Boom. They all sound the same. All right. So, Claire Josie, thanks for being here this morning. We're going to have breakfast, you and I, in a bit.
Thank you.
And I can't get a full English breakfast really around here, although there is a place in Santa Ana. Have you ever been to that place?
Mm-hmm, no. Oh, the ship?
The ship, yeah. There's something about eating breakfast where in the smell of old beer, like surrounded by the smell of old beer.
And sticky carpet.
Yeah. Mm. It's really like that too.
Do they have black pudding?
It's authentic. They do have black pudding.
Mm.
Not my favourite
fried bread, bubble
type. Oh. You know, so I don't know. But anyway, it's a great thing to be out here and be British. And we're very proud. Nice of you to come along and do this for us
this
morning.
Thank you for having me.
And we met 3 minutes before the thing and you've been a very gracious guest. And it's been a lot of fun. We're going to go out with this track, Wagon Wheel. Tell us about that.
So when I was a kid, my dad plays guitar and he taught my sister. He tried to teach me. I was not great. But one of my earliest memories is always of sitting around playing, singing, etc. And I kind of lost touch with that a little bit, probably from the age of about 13. You know, you get to a point where it's just not cool. Then I moved over here and one of my neighbours, a very good friend who I'm still very fond of, one of my neighbours where I first lived on Balboa Island, invited me over for a glass of wine and he got his guitar out and he started playing all the stuff that my dad used to play that we used to do together. And after a while, we'd start to sing and play together. Neighbours would come over, all the kind of the Pearl Avenue posse, the Friends of Pearl Avenue, we called ourselves, would get together and open a bottle of wine and cook and play. And so this is one of the songs that Jim loves. I love to hear him sing it. And interestingly, we were chatting last night over text. He's in St. Andrews at the moment playing golf. And he said, we were just at the pub and my son and I did a gig. And I said, what did you play? And he said, I played Wagon Wheel. And I thought that was so weird because I put this list together some time back now. So anyway, so this is kind of for Jim and Bob and Celeste and Ariel and the Friends of Pearl Avenue. And it just felt so great to kind of find like that sort of home.
Yeah, that is cool. That's been Scotland right now. It's the Edinburgh Festival and all that going on.
Mm-hmm.
Really fun. All right. Well, thanks very much for coming in again. Steve's up next. It's KX93.5. Claire Josie's been here on Full English Breakfast with me, Jason Ferry, podcast available online.